Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Here's our assignment from yesterday. Is there a duality operating that you can identify? Assignment: rearrange the voices on each side of the duality. Which aspect of ego do you see on each side? RL. Example: one side, you have to get through your to-do list, taskmaster. Second side, you shouldn't be multitasking. You can't read that email and listen to that call. All right, here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Risa. Can you hear me?
There's like,
hi, how are you?
What are you seeing?
Well, I've been seeing that on one side of the duality is that if everything is right about the environment, then the doing will happen the way ego says it should, or it will meet ego standards. And on the other side of the duality is if I do everything right, then no matter what is happening, I should be able to meet ego standards.
The constant being the conditional nature of meeting ego standards.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's either something is wrong with the environment, and the implication, I'm guessing, that, well, it's not your fault, right? Although, if you were the right person, even with that going on, you would be able to. So, bottom line, we're going to get to there's something wrong with you. It is actually your fault.
Hello?
Risa?
Yeah, now I'm
Did
here.
Go away?
Again.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I didn't hear anything.
You didn't hear that whole rant?
No, but I can just listen to the recording.
Okay. So it sounds like the environment really isn't cooperating with you in a way that is going to meet ego standards.
No, right now it's not going to meet ego standards. But since I don't actually know what you said.
Well, Risa, here's what it comes down to. The bottom line is there's something wrong with you, and it's your fault.
And I feel like I've kind of gone back to the very, yeah, rather than like, and all of that is in a duality with doing as receiving. Like, if I'm doing something, I'm actually just receiving something from life.
Uh-huh. So there's a feeling of needing to earn.
Yes, needing, like it's like self-motivated. On one side, the I is conducting the universe and in charge of the doing.
Ay, ay, ay. Yeah.
And then on the other side is like the act of doing just being a receptivity to life and towards, I guess, like the environment
mm-hmm.
of life,
but if,
informing.
But everything still has to go a certain way, or it's evidence that you are flawed.
According to ego.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Right.
Of
like,
course.
Like doing. So if in that second duality, like doing as receiving would be like, there's no way for it to go wrong because it's just like the next step of life or the way that it is. And since the I is not in control, the I really has no idea what's right or quote unquote wrong. It's just it's having experience.
Right, although it can certainly come in quickly to have an opinion.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's that fine line, isn't it? There's being with life, and everything is how it is. It is as it is. The environment is as it is, and what happens, happens, and there actually isn't a problem. Then we identify with ego, and now there's all the conditions and the standards, and it's all about you, and it's right or it's wrong, and that whole world of duality comes into being.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, it sounds like they're remodeling the country. Is that what's going on?
No. I found a quiet place to have my call. Ego was very happy about it. And then this giant truck.
Whoops. Hopefully didn't run over you. Ashwini, I think we lost Risa.
Yeah, she's still live, but we can't hear any sound, so.
Yeah.
What this motorcycle behind me.
Oh, there she is.
Right.
Yeah.
Sounds like
yeah, you're really going in and out.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much. And I don't even know if you can hear me anymore, but I look forward to listening to the recording.
All right. We can hear you. Take good care of yourself.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. Thanks.
Bye.
That just goes to show, right, Sherry? Well, we try to find a quiet place, and then the truck shows up, and so does the motorcycle.
That's right. We do the very best we can, and what happens, happens.
Yeah. All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Wow, I was double muted. Hey, Ashwini and Sherry and everyone. This is Anne calling from the Bay Area.
Well, hello, Anne. What are you seeing?
Well, I once again am dumbfounded by the perfection of life and the synchronicity in the teachings. Because this morning I saw really early that the Sunday workshop is when things fall apart. And yesterday the assignment was on duality of doing and not doing. And yesterday I got laid off. And
oh, my God.
Yeah, because of COVID and all this stuff happening. And I mean, it's been a possibility for 5 months, but, you know, things have not gotten better, as you know. I'm just sitting with, first of all, I'm just so grateful for practice. I mean, my gosh, what would we do without practice? And I see, okay, let me see if I can communicate what I'm seeing. So there's a part of me who feels like, just like you were talking with, we don't know, you know, with the prior caller, we have no idea. So from ego's perspective, this is a horrible thing. But there's this sense of this is a gift, like there's a silver lining in this cloud, like there's who knows how life is going to unfold, and here's an opportunity to trust the unfolding.
Yes. And with that, there's a good deal of shock.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yes. Yeah.
Which, you know, it's really interesting. And, you know, we were just talking to Risa, who is in Amsterdam, having quite a different experience. However, the entire world, fortunately, much of the entire world is not as messed up in these circumstances as we are here. So we can be very happy for them. But here, as you said, nothing has gotten better in the last 5 months, quite the opposite. And so it can feel there is simultaneously that wonderful opportunity to realize, I don't know.
Yeah.
Because that is absolutely what we are living in. I don't have any idea. This is unlike anything we have ever experienced. Good. That goes from theory to day-by-day experience. And yet, even within that, we realize that there's a certain, familiarity or I don't know. You could almost say like a bottom line or something. And we realize that that's there because of the shock that we feel when yet another thing happens that is so, as you say now, for the last 5 months, this has been a possibility, but
right.
That's not the same as the reality.
Right. And Sherry, can you say a little bit more about the familiarity or the bottom line? I'm not sure I'm tracking you.
Well, so we have COVID. You know, you're in California. We're in lockdown.
Right.
There's all of that. So there's whatever is happening in terms of availability of stuff. You know, it's more difficult to get groceries. It's, you
yeah.
know, just those kinds of things. But there's still, even though in theory I could lose my job, but I still go to my job every day. I'm still doing the things of the job. I still,
oh,
there's
I
a, yeah, so there are still
yeah.
areas in my life that have not actually changed. And
yeah.
then it can feel like another blow, you know.
Yeah.
So that first rug, big rug, pulled out. Ooh,
mm-hmm.
global pandemic. Okay. Dangerous time to be alive, awful things happening to people all around us. But really, I'm still okay.
Yeah. I mean, and I know people,
and
who,
then,
I have two friends whose brothers have died. And, I mean, you know, but it's like it's not that close to me kind of thing.
Well, and even within that, you're still okay. You get up every
yeah.
day, you go to work, you think about
yeah.
the work things, you have your colleagues, you have the people you serve, you know, all of the things that make up your life, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now another big rug has been pulled
mm-hmm.
out. So even
mm-hmm.
though in theory we know this, I all I want to underline for you and for all of us is it's still a huge shock to the system.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
and to be really sensitive to that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise, ego comes in on one of two sides of that duality. Either, as you say, oh, my God, oh, my God, you're going to die. You're going to starve on the street somewhere. Or what is the matter with you, Anne? I mean, there's, you know, why are you, yeah? And so if we just realize that it, with each moment of life as it unfolds, there's still the same obligation to be as present and attentive as we can be, because
yes.
this moment is the workshop.
Amen. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so I'm just so grateful for practice to, you know, to have and
yeah.
to cling to and to be in and, wow. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, because I project, even though you, in theory, knew it was coming, you're still in a bit of a state of shock.
Yes, ma'am. Your projection
mm-hmm.
is accurate.
I can trust my projections in this case. Yeah.
Yes, you can.
Yeah.
So I'm very looking forward to the workshop on Sunday, because don't you think it's perfect for me and for
yeah,
all
I
of
think
us?
The timing is really good. Yeah. Yeah.
When things fall
yeah.
apart.
And it's just, you know, and the other thing that I want to underline in this, and I know it's stuff that we always talk about, but not to lose sight of compassion. You know,
yeah.
compassion for all beings, because life is a shocking proposition, and for all of us. And there's
yeah.
there's no one who's exempt. So as we bring that compassion to ourselves, then I think it just it really does grow and deepen the compassion that we experience for all beings who, because the thing we know is we all struggle and suffer. It may not always look like it, but it is
yeah.
the case, because if we are identified as a human being, the definition of that is struggling and suffering.
Yes. Well said.
All right. Well, thank you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank
See you
so
Sunday.
Much. Okay.
Take care of yourself.
Enjoy the rest of the show and the rest of the week, and as I always do, all of these calls. Thank you so much to everyone.
Yeah.
Go happy.
All right. Thanks, Ann. Go happy.
Thanks, Ann. It was just dropping in that on that call, on that exchange, Sherry, that it's the most cruel that conditioning can be when we have encountered the unexpected and are experiencing and attempting to be present to it, that adjustment, right? Getting here to mm-hmm. the new reality, that conditioning mm-hmm. would say, this whatever the suffering that is then added to the situation, right? Because shock is shock.
Yeah.
There's a way in which that news is unexpected. There are implications. There's the whatever conditioning that reacts to that, mm-hmm. and the attempt to adjust to the situation, and then the suffering is piled onto it, right?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. The intention
because
is, this is
again,
not something that
this is not something that
should happen, or you should be dealing with it better, or you should have expected it. If you've been expecting it
that's
for 5 months, then how are you? I mean, it's just there's that. It's whatever reaction I'm having is the wrong reaction. That's really what
that's
the
right.
suffering is.
That's it. According to ego, it's
yeah.
wrong. It that's wrong. They're wrong. You're wrong. Wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, Sherry. Hi, Shwini. It's Todd in, Issaquah, Washington now, formerly Seattle, Washington.
Well, hello, Todd. What are you seeing?
Hi. Well, I'm seeing what I'm working on is an issue I've been working on for a while now. I called Open Air and talked to Shwini about 3 months ago, and it's about the ending of a relationship, and it's all about what to do, like what can I do to stop it, what have I done, all this stuff around, you know, doing to, you know, stop this or stop all the suffering around it. And, you know, one, what I'm really struck by, like, I feel like I have a really good handle on the process. Like, I really loved the radio show yesterday when you were talking about the bourbon. and I just feel like I got a really good handle on who the subpersonalities are and how they're causing me to suffer. But yet, at the same time, it seems like I'm struggling so much with linking that with feeling better. And I just happen to be on vacation with my family, and I have a 27-year-old son, and we're very similar. And last night, he woke up in the middle of the night just crying, just bawling, and he wanted Dad to hold him and hug him and sleep with him at 27. And, you know, he's a Zen practitioner, does his best. And but yet, it just seems like in my family, you know, with my mom, and I think you know a little bit about this, and myself, it's like mental health is a thing, you know? And where, I guess what I'm seeing or where I'm trying to make the connection is, I know ego's bamboozling me in terms of like, Todd, no, you know, your family is just too mentally ill to be able to get through these kind of things. So when a relationship ends for you, you're going to suffer. And that's just how it is. No matter how much work you do, no matter how much you see it, no matter how much you practice, no matter how much workshops you do, you're just doomed. And so that's
yes.
just kind of,
yeah.
I'm just with this state of hope, and then with COVID, and I just like hopelessness.
Yeah.
It's like,
well, Todd,
so
let me tell you this. Let me tell you this, okay? I'll put my family's mental illness up against your family's mental illness any day of the week, okay? I could give you, you know, back to great-grandparents down to aunts, uncles, cousins, mentally ill, okay? Every
yeah,
kind
yeah.
of manifestation of that known to humanity. And
yes, yeah.
And that has driven me, of course, to Zen practice, as it drove you to Zen practice, which is a good
yeah.
thing. For that, we
yeah.
can be grateful, because whether you know you're crazy or, you know, not, you know other
yeah.
people are crazy. And so being able to bring it back to the source is a sense of possibility, okay? And so I'm going to tell you this thing that I Ashwini and I were having this conversation yesterday, because somebody made this statement. We've got somebody wrote in, you know, I'm practicing and so it could basically be what you just said. You know, I'm practicing, but all of this stuff still happens. And I go to the same place every time. So, okay, get ready now. I hope you're sitting down. You've got to listen to this, okay? There is only one way out of that.
Yeah.
Okay? This is back to our – yeah, I'm surprised, actually, Todd, that I said bourbon, because I was never a bourbon drinker. I was a Scotch gal. So,
I
don't know why I called it bourbon instead of Scotch, but anyway, I had a momentary lapse there. Forgot who I was.
Uh-huh.
And so the only way to stop is to stop suffering.
Yeah.
That's the only way. And the thing that we have in this practice that I will say almost nobody else on the planet has is the way to do that. We know very clearly, we can articulate what causes suffering, and we know how to stop it. So when I have my attention on what's wrong, on the story, when I'm going over that, when I'm in a conversation with ego, where ego is explaining to me how my problem is based on the fact that I'm nuts and I come from a nuts family and there's nothing that can be done about it, when my attention is on that conversation, I am a suffering ego. When I redirect attention away from all of that, and back to what is actually true, I don't suffer. Now, the thing that ego has going is it gets us to believe that once that happens, we should be done with it. But the fact of the matter is, it is a split second by split second by split second by split second operation. I have to keep my attention on not suffering or I will suffer.
Yes. Yeah. Well,
and it is as simple. It is as simple as that. And Todd, there is no other answer.
Yeah. Well, and that's kind of what I've come in. You know, I'm involved in 12-step programs, and of course, it's one day at a time. But when you first get going, it's 1 hour at a time. It's 1 minute.
Oh, it's 1 minute at a time.
It's one second at a time.
That has fascinated me for years. Why do these people talk about one day at a time? If people could get through an entire day, they wouldn't have to go to those meetings.
Yeah, yeah.
It is second by second by second.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Well, and where I've been struggling too is a constant meditation practice, and so I know that I'm sure is a huge key. That ego has bamboozled
Don't
me
do,
out of that, so.
Todd. For now.
Yes.
Now, everybody else, don't listen to what I'm saying to Todd, because I'm only talking to Todd. Don't meditate. Sitting there listening to those voices in your head is not doing you any good. Get those earbuds or AirPods or whatever the heck you've got. Get those in your ear and get into a conversation with the intelligence, the love, the wisdom, the compassion that animates you, and do not get out of that conversation.
Got it. Yeah. I love it. Well, yeah, because the days that I have where there's some relief is when I have those earbuds in for 2-3 hours.
That's exactly right. That's exactly if I don't feel pain when I stand on both feet instead of just the one, that's a big clue. Stand on both feet all the time, okay?
Yeah.
And that's really it. If I know I don't suffer when I do this practice, then that is a big clue that I need to do that practice all the time, not just when I'm aware that I'm suffering. No. We want to do it when we're not suffering so that we don't suffer.
Yeah.
Okay. Your assignment.
Wow.
You're on it.
Okay.
Yeah, if you
I'm
forget,
on.
I'll tell you some, I'll bore you with some of my family stories until you, you know, you have no choice but to put those earbuds in. All right.
No,
I love it. Thank you, Todd.
I love it. Thank you, Terry.
Thank you.
Go happy. Okay.
Go bye-bye. Happy. Bye-bye.
Thank God. Oh, what a wonderful conversation, Terry. Ultimately, after a certain point in practice, we just have to do what we know.
What we have to do.
Which is to really pay attention. Right?
Yeah,
I can't. I think the conversation we were having is you cannot be anxious if you're in unless you're in a conversation. So if anxiety or fear is in a is happening in a conversation, then you want to be in a different conversation which doesn't produce anxiety or fear.
That's exactly right, and it is as simple as that.
Right.
Don't do that.
Which is, I think, what we were talking to Julian about yesterday. That the reason you pat your nose 3 times before you get out of bed is because you want to train yourself to overcome the resistance that would prevent you from listening to your recordings all the time, right? You get out of doing the thing that would assist you to end suffering. So the practice is to do the thing that would end suffering, right? All
that's
the time,
right.
Whether it's
that's
three
right.
pats on the nose or turn on the recorder.
That's right. Ashwini, I just want to point out something to you. I said, I quoted you as you get out of bed and the first thing you do is pat the top of your head 3 times. You just actually made it easier for us, right? We don't even have to get out of bed and we can just tap our nose 3 times. Okay, this is getting so easy that even ego can't claim practice is too difficult.
Well, yeah. Then we can graduate.
Pat your nose 3 times every day for the rest of your life. Wake up, pat your nose 3 times. You're a free human.
Yes, absolutely. All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Erin in Massachusetts.
Hello, Erin.
How are you?
What are you seeing?
Well, I've been thinking a lot about a conversation you had on Friday and then a conversation that you had yesterday with people on the call. And in both cases, they were talking about, like, finding a space between, well, not believing and not believing, but between awareness and seeing the belief. Like, there's a little bit of space that opens up there.
Erin, there's a gap. There's a little tiny gap between every thought.
Hmm.
Every single thought. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
And so this is what I heard you two say on Friday, which is being the awareness that is aware, not somebody who really believes this but is trying not to believe.
That's right.
And I'm like doing my best here. But I feel like I'm in the latter, not the former, and I'm trying to understand, more about. Because
that's
I can see that. Like, I can see that, like, as I was diagramming beliefs, I was, like, seeing the judge, and that's what I was focusing on. And I can disidentify by identifying it as a belief and a subpersonality, and it's still there. So that sort of feels like the conundrum to me, you know?
Oh, don't let it. Don't let it be a conundrum.
Okay.
So. So let's say that you're a person who has strong feelings about how things should be.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see how if it were just this way, let's go all spiritual practice here. If people would just be kind and compassionate, the world, we could return the world to the Garden of Eden, right? It's so obvious, isn't it? That's all we need to do. Care about one another, be kind, be compassionate, there. But the world is full of people who don't think that, who don't believe that, who don't want that, who aren't interested, okay? Now, you can focus all of your attention on kindness and compassion. You're just doing everything you can to return this world to the Garden of Eden. But those people aren't going away.
Right.
And so and now we're back to Todd, right? If the amount of time you spend attending to them is the amount of time you don't spend attending to kindness and compassion. And right, and you're not doing mm-hmm. anybody any good. The garden isn't growing. Kindness mm-hmm. and compassion isn't being supported. Right, all you're doing is feeding that other group
mm-hmm.
right? by giving them all of your attention. Right, and so there it is. So you're looking for the space between the thoughts, but all those conditioned beliefs aren't going to go anywhere. It's not like the fact that you realize that, or that you want to attend to the space between the thoughts, which is code for kindness and compassion, right? That doesn't mean that all of that other egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hating stuff is going to go away. It's not. And, you know, Aaron, at some point, now I'm not going to lie to you, at some point it will, okay? But we can't be in a hurry for that, because what we want to do is clean up every little piece of trash in the garden on mm-hmm. our way, right? And so to be excited yeah. about that rather than ever being defeated about what the other side is doing.
So it's, you know, we're like the quality, well, maybe I'm not going to get the quote right, but like the quality of life
is determined by the focus of your attention.
So if I see judge, it's like, okay, I can notice that and then keep coming back.
That's it. That's exactly it. I see the judge. If I go with the judge, if I go with, oh, Aaron, what is the matter with you? You are so judgmental. Look at you. Blah, 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 blah. You can see. You can feel yourself sliding down into suffering. Instead, you go, yeah, there's the judge. Wow, there's a lot of conditioning about judgment. Uh-huh. Okay. Mm-hmm. Redirect the attention to kindness and compassion, to this here now.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then that is literally the practice.
Literally the practice. Yes.
Okay.
And I'll give you one more.
Mm-hmm.
When you're making that change, so when you go with there's the judge and you buy into the judge and you feel the judgment and you feel bad and you're identified with ego,
mm-hmm.
right? When you come back, be aware that you are awareness, that it's only the awareness that is your authentic nature, that is the authentic nature of all, that can mm-hmm. make that movement. Ego never can and never will.
Mm-hmm.
Only authenticity makes that movement, has that mm-hmm. expanded awareness, and that's what you are.
Mm-hmm.
So each time that awareness is there, just note that. Ah, that's what's real. Oh.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
This is where I say, have fun.
I will.
Because it is fun. All right. Thank you, Aaron.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Aaron. And Sherry, that brings us to the end of the show. That was such a fascinating conversation, because something that dropped in is you don't know if you're in the space between the thoughts if there are no thoughts.
That's right. But sometimes you can get a sense of it by how it feels.
Right. And it just happens, it just so happens that the thoughts are not so close to each other, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway.
It gets more spacious.
It gets more spacious, exactly.
Yeah.
So our assignment for today, can you see how the voices are framing your choices to ensure that you never win? Example, I'm required to get through my to-do list. This makes me feel pressured since there is too much to do in the time there is to do it. But if I find a way, multitasking, to get it all done, I'm berated for not giving all my attention to a particular task. The choice is between being anxious about not meeting deliverables and being made to feel awful for cutting corners in order to meet my obligations. Assignment, what are the two choices the voices offer you? RL, what you see.
You can see why an expression like damned if you do and damned if you don't has become a cliche.
Yes. Our
speaks to all of our experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody.
Go happy.
Go happy.